coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob as a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's the self-proclaimed bad boy of podcasting, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another friggin' five edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino alongside Nicole. How are you?
I am great.
Ooh, very good. Good to be back with you, Nicole.
Good to be back. Good to be back sitting in this chair.
Yes. Good. Yes.
Yes.
Why did you have to sit in another chair?
I wasn't sitting in this chair.
Yeah. And now here you are.
And now here I am.
Yeah. I did an exciting video cast the other night without you.
I know. I was in the other room.
Yes.
Not for the whole part.
Not for the whole part. But we are back together here for a friggin' five.
It's always good when we get back together.
It is always good. Thank you. Good to hear, Nicole.
Yes.
Big friggin' five on the way for you guys today. You're in for a treat.
Wowzer.
We are going to be talking about reality news. We're going to be talking about aliens.
Yes,
we're
going our to favorite things.
We're going to be keeping you updated on Coach's movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about what Mark Burnett is up to.
Yes.
And a surprising announcement, a very sad news in the world of Rob Has a Podcast.
Oh my goodness, what?
Well, we'll get to it when we get to it, Nicole.
Oh, you didn't even tell me the news.
Well, that's what the friggin' five really is.
It's surprise Nicole.
It's going to surprise Nicole, okay. Yeah. And that's best to just give you the news as we hear it.
Like the wiener?
Yeah, just in a lot of ways, just like that. Anyway, so we're going to get right into the friggin' five.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say real quick, the friggin' five, sponsored, as always, by Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your choice on online shopping.
Oh, well, first off, let me just say real quick, thank you to everybody who's been using the Amazon.com.
Yes.
We really appreciate all the support. Similar to Coach, we have had about 180
oh, my goodness.
Items purchased through Amazon.com this month.
Oh. Five of them were from me.
Five of them, yeah, they were mostly from Nicole. But Nicole, thank you for all the support.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I said we were going to do some shout-outs, and I'll be sure to do that at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. But without further ado...
Uh-huh, let's dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it. It is time for Friggin' One, and here it is, Nicole.
Uh-oh, what is it?
It's reality news. Ooh, breaking news for reality.
Yes, and there's been a lot this week.
This was a very big week as far as reality news goes. And let's start off with some news that we started hearing, I think it was on Sunday morning.
I don't know what day of the week it is now.
It is Friday.
Okay.
Friday night.
There it is.
There we go. All right, so Sunday morning, Nicole and I started getting various tweets.
Yes.
And all sorts of information that there is a rumor going around
there.
5
a.m. in the morning, by the way.
And I don't know, if you don't like spoilers or rumors...
Fast forward.
You may want to skip ahead to friggin' two.
Yeah.
But the rumor on the street... And again, we don't like to talk too much about rumors.
But it's pretty much out there.
Yes.
If you have a computer, you probably know.
So the word on the street is that our friends Jenna and Ethan are going to be on the next Amazing Race.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. So,
Which is kind of crazy.
Yes.
Don't you think?
I think that's...
It was kind of out of nowhere. Like, we woke up, we got these tweets, we're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But it's great news.
It's very, very exciting. You know, they're following the footsteps of many other reality couples.
Do they have one every season, a reality couple?
No, because there's been like 19 seasons of Amazing Race.
Uh-huh.
I think this is going to be Amazing Race 19. And it's really just been, the first one I think was Allison and her boyfriend from Big Brother 4.
Which have broken up since.
Yeah. I know I'm probably forgetting a few, but then there was Robin Amber.
Robin
Amber twice, actually.
Yes, the All-Stars, right?
Yes.
The first All-Stars.
Then there was
Funny how that works out.
Why do you say it like that?
Because they were in the first All-Stars on Survivor 2, where they fell in love.
Yeah, that's really ironic.
I didn't say it was ironic.
Anyway.
Idiot.
I'm the idiot?
I didn't say it was ironic. That word never came out of my mouth.
Okay. Then there was also...
Jerk.
Jeff and Jordan. I feel like we're missing somebody.
And there was a rumor that Jeff and Jordan were engaged.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not true.
Right.
They are not engaged.
Yes.
So stop spreading rumors.
Stop spreading rumors, people. And then I think I know that there's one other one I think that we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also now Jen and Ethan.
Jen and Ethan, yeah.
Allegedly.
We're pretty positive.
Yeah. So how do you feel Jenna and Ethan would potentially do on an Amazing Race?
Well, let's break this down. So Jenna is a wild tweeter.
Yes.
She has been, obviously she's known she's going on this.
Well, there was some speculation leading up to this that Jenna was saying that she was going to be off the grid for a little while. And some people were believing that she could potentially be on Survivor 23.
Yes.
Especially coupled with the rumors that there was going to be returning contestants.
Tricky, tricky
tweeting. That being said, it looks like this may, in fact, be what she's up to.
They totally threw us a curveball.
Real curveball.
Yeah.
I did not see this
coming. Didn't see this one coming at all. But if you look at her tweets, she would often tweet about her boot camp that she's been doing, where she has to take Ethan on her back and run up 12 flights of stairs, do a somersault, and then jump through a hoop.
Ethan on
fire.
Oh, so it's a joke?
No, she really did. Like, it was one of her tweets. She had Ethan on her back and, like, ran up 12 flights of stairs while holding 12-gallon jugs of water.
What?
I'm just telling the news.
And this wasn't a joke?
That's what she said.
So, but I say things a lot of times on Twitter.
Would she lie? Happening. Would she make you think otherwise?
It sounds like she's exaggerating.
I don't know. But the point is that they've been training for this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think it's going to be physical is going to be their show. I mean, they seem as good of a chance as anybody. I think a lot of it
has to do with luck. Like, oh, you get a cab driver that, you know, blows a tire. That sucks for you. That's luck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they speak any other languages.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the only thing I could say. I mean, if you were going to build an Amazing Race dream team, they'd be pretty close to it. I'm trying to come up with anything that might hold them back. I mean, I would imagine, it seems like Ethan...
Are they good at puzzles?
I would think they're, if not amazing at puzzles.
This is the Amazing Race.
Well, I think they'd be at least holding their own at puzzles.
Yes. Now, are they as recognizable as Rob and Amber were? Because that was something that helped Rob and Amber the first time that they were on.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think so. I mean, just because the Survivor All-Stars was much closer to when they went on the Amazing Race.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We have to watch the Amazing Race?
I guess until they get booted or they lose.
or if they win. So we don't know what'll happen.
Yeah.
So very exciting news. Good luck to Jenna and Ethan, who are potentially racing around the world and might not be able to listen to this.
Yes.
Okay.
But I bet they're listening to this on their iPod as they're around the world.
Probably. Maybe on one of the layovers they could sync their iPod.
While they're on the plane, obviously.
Obviously. Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Oh, that would be good.
I don't think you'd have the laptop to sync the iPod.
You don't need it, though. You just need to be connected to Wi-Fi
in
the airport.
Yeah.
Or Stitcher.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if you're listening, good luck.
Yay!
We're rooting for you!
So, we have some more news then.
Speaking of another Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Ish.
Amazing Race-ish?
Yes.
Yes. Speaking of another Amazing Race-ish, Nicole, what do you got?
We have Parvati will be racing around the world. Maybe not racing.
Think so much.
Taking her time.
Yes. Parvati is going to be traveling around the world for free.
For free.
What a deal.
Yes. The news dropped today. Dalton Ross dropped the news that Parvati will be taking over the third season or hosting the third season.
Was that an exclusive for Dalton Ross?
It was an exclusive around the world for free.
Yeah.
And basically the premise of the show is Parvati going around the world, and it's going to be very interactive on the internet. And you want Parvati to go somewhere, you can say, all right, listen, I have a cousin that lives in Brazil. If you work for her, she'll be able to get you, you know, further along. So you will be able to help Parvati on her way.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's interactive. That's like this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so much better.
Yeah. So, we had on the first season of Around the World for Free, it was Alex Boylan who won the Amazing Race, too,
right.
who is a good guy. He lives out here in L.A. now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second season was it Jeff and Jordan?
No, it was just Jeff.
Just Jeff from Big Brother 2.
Correct.
And then Parvati this season.
The first chick to do it.
Yeah. Now, in the interview with Dalton Ross, there was a little bit of a dig that Parvati took on the Big Brother cast.
A little bit.
That Dalton Ross asked her, So talking about how Dalton Ross asked her, how many boys do you plan to seduce on this trip? Parvati laughs, at least one in every country. Then Dalton Rose asked her, that's how you'll get around for free, I suppose, then. So this show used to be hosted by Jeff Schroeder from Big Brother. Does that mean you'll be taking his sloppy seconds? She says, I never watched Jeff on Big Brother. Big Brother, to me, I find to be a little less than exciting.
Aw.
We'll dig.
Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with Parvati on many things. I will disagree that I think Big Brother is pretty exciting.
Don't ever disagree with Parvati.
It's exciting. You just have to wrap your head around that it's
you
on
just have to...
three times a week and they don't go anywhere.
You just need a lot of time.
Yeah. So that's good. So good luck to Parvati. Could Parvati potentially run into Jenna and Ethan around the world for free?
I think they're going to crash in the middle.
Oh my. And Boston Rob?
They're all going to be on their ostriches.
It's like Lost. They're all going to get sucked into like the Bermuda Triangle at the same time. Too many survivors traveling at once.
Oh, this could be bad.
Ooh. Does this mean that if all the survivors start leaving the country, I'm officially the greatest survivor in America? At this moment? At this hour?
Is Rupert still here?
Will there be a moment in the next couple months when I'm the greatest survivor in America? Will I be able to say that?
Maybe.
If Sandra goes on vacation, maybe.
Sandra has to go back to Japan.
Ooh. That's like.
Then maybe you have a chance.
Yeah, it's almost like in Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah, just like that.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Oh, you don't like when that happens.
Because I'm actually saying something.
Really? Battlestar Galactica?
Okay, all right.
Oh, you don't like when it happens to you.
But I don't think that the listeners like it when I'm going to say something funny and you stop me.
They don't like it when I'm about to say something funny and you stop me.
Oh, I'll be waiting for that moment.
I'm going to punch you so hard in your face.
Anyway, if anybody knows where I was going with that, write it in the comments. I'd like to see if anybody knows
where
I was going
with that. And if you know... you're a dork.
So, then we have some more news today coming out of MTV.
Uh-huh.
And, Nicole, were you very surprised to hear about that the rumors today that MTV is going to do Jersey Shore 4 and then 5 and then that's it?
They're filming it right now.
They're going to recast it.
They're recasting and getting new Guidos.
That's what you think, because MTV shoots down Jersey Shore recasting reports. It was all over the news today.
Right.
Lots of various different sources reported that MTV was saying that they're going to stop doing Jersey Shore with this cast after season 5. But now MTV's saying, no way. If MTV were to recast, the network would likely stand to save a lot of money, according to Us Weekly. But
right.
they have not decided that.
They need to recast. If they don't recast, that is a big mistake.
If it's still getting...
How much of the situation and Snooki and JWoww and Sammy's puss can we possibly take?
Nicole, take it easy.
There was no Y on the end.
So, I don't know. I'm just saying, I think that... let's see how it does with this new format of traveling around the world for free. Now,
They're not traveling. You're thinking of a different show.
Is it possible that Boston Rob, Jenna, and Ethan, Parvati, and the Jersey Shore cast could all run into each other, like in Florence?
Oh my god, and they all meet at Seaside.
Yeah. How would that go? That would be a situation.
That's a situation.
Hey, you know, you guys, you're going on the Jersey Shore... You're Italian. I'm Italian.
Let's get some pizza.
Let's get some pizza.
Want to ride my ostrich.
Now, I would rather see Snooki ride an ostrich than Boston Rob.
I think Snooki has ridden a few ostriches.
Can we see Snooki go around the world in 80 ways?
I think she only knows of one way.
What is that?
The dirtiest way possible.
Oh, boy. I also think Snooki, as the host of Around the World for Free 4, might be very interesting also.
Stop that.
Or Snooki on The Amazing Race. Snooki on any of these shows.
So Snooki in The Situation on The Amazing Race?
I think just...
Snooki's her own team?
Yeah, I think just Snooki and Dean and Nicole. That would be my pick.
Oh, the Meatballs. Team Meatballs.
That would be very good. And then, Nicole, you were saying that you had some Big Brother rumors?
I heard a Big Brother rumor. I heard it from a good source, although I can't attest to it being 100% true, but Janelle...
Yes.
From Big Brother 6?
Yes.
Oh, I was right.
N7.
N7. Preggers. I know what she did.
Well done, Nicole. You truly earned your medical degree.
I'm a nurse.
Okay, do we know who the lucky father is?
I don't know. I'm hoping she knows.
Now, is this official, or is this like we really? If you're not 100% sure about this, we probably shouldn't say that.
I heard it. Somebody tweeted it. A reliable source tweeted it.
Well, if somebody tweeted it, why don't you say who tweeted it?
Reagan tweeted it.
Okay. So Reagan Fox is reporting.
So if it's false, send him the hate mail.
Don't send anybody hate mail.
Just don't send it here.
But if somebody tweets something, you should give them credit.
Okay, I'm giving him credit. And I'm also giving him credit for the hate mail. Okay. If it's false.
Don't send Reagan any hate mail, please.
No, we don't want to make him mad.
Don't make it.
We like Reagan.
Yeah. So no hate mail for him or Janelle.
Oh, you can send it to.
Or her baby.
Survivor Steph.
All right, and so speaking of Big Brother, we're very excited. Big Brother is only a few weeks away.
Oh my god, I have to work my work schedule around this.
About 2 weeks away for the Big Brother.
Really?
Yeah.
When's the start date?
I don't know the exact date. I know it's the after the 4th of July. I want to say it's July 7th.
Oh good, I'm on vacation.
Sometime around there.
Okay, cool.
And I want to throw out one more thing. If you guys who watch the Big Brother live feeds are interested in signing up for the live feeds, go ahead over to the old Rob Has a Website and check out. We've got a banner to try the Big Brother live feeds for free, like going around the world for free. For three, you get 3 days for free. If you just want to try it, then you can cancel it. You don't have to keep it. So sign up for the Big Brother live feeds over here if you're into that sort of thing. Because I think that...
And we know you are.
And I haven't decided whether or not, you know, I normally try to avoid the spoilers, but I did some interviews with Real Player back a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I have a free subscription to the Big Brother live feeds this summer.
We wouldn't want
to
let that go to waste.
Wouldn't want to let that go to waste. So maybe we should do, you know, some podcasting about the feeds.
Maybe we'll do a spoiler
cast. We could be talked into it. That's all I'm saying.
If that's what you guys want, we'll do it.
Yeah. So Big Brother podcasts are starting. We don't know the exact format. Maybe one spoilerish, one non-spoilerish.
Are we going to be able to...
I don't know. We don't have the exact... We don't have it hammered out yet.
Are we going to be able to control ourselves on the non-spoiler podcast to let that influence our opinions?
Well, the non-spoiler podcast could be close to when the live show is, or it could be like, you know, before eviction. I don't know what the breakdown is of the days of the week yet.
Okay.
So we'll figure that all out. And we're also going to check out Love in the Wild next week.
Oh, yeah.
So some podcasts about that. Maybe part of a freaking five, or maybe its own podcast.
Yes, and this is a good segue into the next friggin', what is it, two?
You ready to move on to friggin' two,
friggin'
Nicole?
Friggin' two.
All right, let's get into Friggin' 2, and it is, Expedition Impossible.
Ooh la la.
Ooh, okay. So, Nicole and I are actually going to throw our headsets on here, because we're going to bring in a guest right now. We're going to bring in Jeff Pittman from the True Dork Times. Now, Nicole and I did not watch Expedition Impossible.
Right.
I'm not sure how many of you guys got to see it this week, but...
We want to make sure it's worth watching before we invest our time in it.
Right. But Jeff Pittman, he watched it, and he's going to give us a full report, and we'll get to pepper him with questions about Expedition Impossible. So I'm going to go ahead and get Jeff on the horn.
Hello?
Hello, Jeff. What's going on? You're on with Rob and Nicole.
Hello.
Rob and Nicole. Wow.
Oh, yeah. What a treat.
Yeah, we talked to Jeff back in May before the Survivor finale, and we were talking about how Jeff was pretty convinced Boston Rob was going to win Survivor, and I was starting to come around to the possibility after months of saying that there was no way.
Yes.
And Jeff was right.
Yeah, it did seem pretty unlikely most of the season, but it worked out for him.
It worked out.
We did have a winner.
Well, Jeff, this is not what we called you to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about the new show, Expedition Impossible, created and executive produced by Mark Burnett on the ABC network.
All right. And I take it you guys did not watch it?
We did not watch it.
We want you to convince us whether we should watch it or
not. Well, I don't know if Jeff is going to, if that's the road that Jeff is going to take. But he's going to tell us all about it.
Okay.
And so, Jeff,
Tell us all about Expedition Impossible.
Well, before we start, are you sure you're not contractually obligated to watch all Mark Burnett shows?
I think so. I think at one point I was.
Well, then we'd have to watch Audrina on MTV then.
Whoa. I would check that out.
I know you would.
I would DVR that.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What is that noise?
I went to the Expedition Impossible website and it's starting to play a commercial.
Okay.
Mark Burnett, he gets money everywhere. All right, so Jeff, tell us exactly what is Expedition Impossible? How does this work?
So Expedition Impossible is pretty much a 50-50 mix of Eco Challenge, which is an adventure race, and Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm.
And as the episode went on, it seemed to be more and more Amazing Race-like.
Now, Expedition Impossible, there are teams of three?
Yeah, so it's different.
Yeah, I see that.
They're not directly ripping it off. And Eco Challenge had teams of four, so it's not bad either. Right in the middle there.
Now, it also seems from the Expedition Impossible website that the teams have very on-the-nose, unfunny, unironic names.
Yes, like the firemen.
Like Team Fisherman, I see.
Yeah. The football players.
Team Fab 3, which Fab 3 is just really the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Team Gypsies.
Team California Girls.
Yeah, and there's some Kansas. There's like a Team Kansas, too.
Team Country Boys, yeah. So do you have a favorite team in the Expedition Impossible?
There's four teams that are really good. I'm not sure any of them are really my favorites right now. Mm-hmm. There's the team No Limits is pretty interesting because they have a blind guy.
Whoa,
there's a twist.
But he's actually it's like a parallel to Amazon.
Yeah.
But he's actually a pretty good outdoors guy. He's climbed mountains and he's actually in what they're one of the better teams.
Yeah. Who is the worst team? The team that got eliminated?
Yeah. And
so Latin Persuasion.
There was a team Latin Persuasion?
Spoiler alert.
Apparently they were not that persuasive.
Apparently not.
So yeah, that was one of the problems with the editing, actually. It's odd. I was expecting this to be edited exactly like Survivor, but they really didn't make much of an attempt to hide the team that lost because as the race was going to the end and the last team is eliminated at the end of each leg, there were two teams that were left, and it was the team Latin Persuasion, which had been fighting with each other the entire episode, and then this other random team with an old guy that we hadn't seen at all. Hmm. So it was pretty obvious which team was going to get eliminated.
Was it Team Grandpa's Warriors?
That was the team, but they didn't get eliminated now.
Yeah. What is the dynamic here in Teams Grandpa's Warriors? Are there it's the girl with her two grandfathers?
No, it's the grandpa with two of his grandkids.
Wait,
what?
this guy on the left in the picture is a grandson? He looks exactly the same age as the grandfather.
They look like besties.
It's possible I didn't notice because they were shown for 3 seconds.
So was this show enjoyable for you?
Well, I have to preface this by saying that I was a huge Eco Challenge fan. That was like my first exposure to Mark Burnett.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping that this show would be like Eco Challenge. I mean, those people were nuts. The races there were, you actually had to win, and it was over the, it was like a 350-mile course that the best teams would finish in 7 days. And they would do that by running with backpacks on in the dark overnight rather than sleeping. Mm-hmm. So they could get a like an hour lead on the next team. This wasn't like that.
And now, does it all take place in Morocco?
It's all in Morocco, yeah. So that's the difference from Amazing Race. They're not jumping from country to country. It's all in the Kingdom of Morocco.
Oh, so they can't listen to the podcast on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, bummer. Well,
I do think that would be the biggest downer as far as being on the race, all the going to the airports, and then you have to buy, you know, sit on planes and go through security all the time.
Do you have to get there 2 hours in advance?
I think so. Like, you don't get to just, like, skip through airline security because you're on the Amazing Race, which that seems like the... So in some ways, I feel like this is a little more pure than the Amazing Race because there's no airplanes involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
there's, yeah. So like the first challenge was to race up this gigantic sand dune, which was like 600 feet tall. And then you had to go down the other side and ride camels.
Okay.
And, so that, but the, there's probably some editing going on because they seem to jump from a sandy area to a place that had giant cliffs. And then next week they're at, there's like a raging river that they're going to do whitewater rafting on.
Whoa. Huh.
So it, there's probably some stuff that they're not showing where they're just transporting the teams to the next leg of the race.
So Jeff, is there like pit stops like the, on the Amazing Race?
Yeah, that's my main problem with it. So the teams that are in front were all busting ass and trying to get to the finish line first, but there's really no prize for finishing first, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
They just get congratulations from the host, and then they get to sleep earlier, I guess.
Wow, that's
Who
pretty good.
Who is the host?
Oh, I could tell you.
A guy named Dave Salmoni.
Oh.
Now, what do we know Dave Salmoni from?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Oh, he used
he
to be...
He doesn't look familiar.
Dave Salmoni. He used to be the host of Rock and Roll Jeopardy. Yeah, I think that's how they found him. Yeah. Oh, he was named one of People's Magazine's Sexiest Bachelors.
Oh.
That's yeah. interesting.
And did you know, like I love on the Expedition Impossible website, they have a Did You Know Dave Salmoni? Like, because 10 seconds ago, I didn't know Dave Salmoni was a person.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know that Dave Salmoni lived in a tent in the African bush for 5 years in order to trade Bengal.
To train.
Yeah, train.
You said trade.
I don't think I said trade.
Yes, you did.
To train Bengal tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Did you know that about Dave Salmoni?
I knew that.
And now he's back in Africa.
Who knew?
So Expedition Impossible is an educational show.
It's very educational. Now
I learned a lot of things, in fact.
What did you learn?
I learned that, one, the desert is hot.
Ooh.
Really?
Two, camels are stubborn.
Get out of here.
I've heard that.
Three, blind people really suck at counting snakes when people are holding them up in front of them.
Oh,
wait, how did you learn that?
That was one of the challenges.
Yeah.
And four, some people are afraid of heights. Who knew?
Whoa.
Wow, that's crazy.
Just to update an earlier item of Teams Grandpa's Warriors, the person that we were trying to identify, he is actually the dad of the girl and the son of Grandpa.
Oh.
So he is the missing
link. Oh, so they're the warriors, and he's grandpa.
Yes.
Oh, I get it.
Although technically only the daughter is his grandpa. Does that sound like your worst nightmare, Nicole, to go on an adventure race with your dad and your grandfather at the same time?
Oh my God.
To be an adult woman.
That sounds horrible.
It doesn't sound like that much fun.
Well, that was some of the drama on this leg of the race. There's another team where there's two daughters and their mother, and the mother was having problems with the rappelling leg, and the daughters were having trouble watching that.
Whoa.
There were tears.
It seems like the Expedition Impossible is also far more color-coded than the Amazing Race.
Yes, that makes it easier.
More color-coded?
Yes. At least as far as
the colors are more matching, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. That everybody on this team seems to be wearing the same color in these pictures.
Although it looks like there's two blue teams and two red teams.
Yeah, there's only so many colors.
Confusing.
Unfortunately, there are how many teams are there in this? 13 teams?
13.
So there's not really that many colors.
Well, the teal team, which is Team Fab 3, also has knee-high socks. So that's how they set themselves apart from the other teams.
That's why they're Fab.
But also Team New York Fireman also appears to be, if there's a teal, there probably shouldn't be baby blue also.
Yeah.
That seems confusing.
Yeah.
I like Team Football Players. They really, really thought outside the box with that one.
Yeah,
I wonder how they got that casting down for a reality show. Football Players, who would have thought of that?
Jeff, what is the prize on Expedition Impossible?
It's a whopping $150,000
each.
Be split
between
some
people.
Each?
Total to be split between people.
So you only get $50,000
that's
each?
That's a jip.
But they each get a Ford Explorer. So
okay. I guess that's not. And how long does this last?
They said it's a 10-day race or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad for a week and a half.
I guess not.
How many episodes are we planning on here for Expedition Impossible?
Well, I'm going to keep watching.
Okay. No, I mean, for the, do we know how many episodes are going to be in the series?
I would assume 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do we have any sense of how it did the other night? I'm gonna Google Expedition Impossible.
I think it's time slot.
Whoa.
Well, it was hyped pretty. It was hyped a lot.
Yeah. So it had a good lead in, though. Yeah. The Wipeout. People like the Wipeout.
Really? People watch that?
Yeah, it's a huge show.
Hmm.
According to Dan Feinberg at HitFix, also of the Firewall and Iceberg podcast, he writes that ABC premiered its Summer Thursday lineup to strong Wipeout numbers, a good Expedition Impossible premiere, and somewhat soft return for Rookie Blue.
Hmm.
Okay. So it looks like people at least were curious enough for Expedition Impossible. Okay, we'll see if they come back. Will they come back? We weren't curious enough.
Yeah.
I think if people are fans of Amazing Race, they'll either love it because it's almost exactly like Amazing Race, or mm-hmm. they'll be really pissed off that it's ripping off Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Well, there is no Amazing Race right now.
Right.
That's
so
true.
So that could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
According to this, it had about 7.47 million viewers.
Is that good?
I think it's okay.
For summer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Actually, in a competitive 8 p.m. hour, Wipeout had 7.47 million views.
I can't believe Wipeout has that many viewers.
People like Wipeout. You don't have to think.
Yeah.
and Expedition Impossible had 7.05. So they lost about 500,000 views from their lead-in. But not bad. But the question is going to be how many people come back next week.
Right.
Did people enjoy what they saw? And I don't know. I haven't really seen great reviews from our listeners who watched it.
Well, Mark Burnett's certainly putting in his effort to get people to watch.
Why? What kinds of things is Mark Burnett doing to promote this show?
He is doing his best Jeff Probst impression and live tweeting on both coasts.
What? Oh. Live tweeting on both coasts?
I didn't know Mark Burnett had a Twitter.
Do we have any examples of Mark Burnett's live tweets?
Indeed we do.
Oh, what do you got?
Let's hear it.
Well, some of them are, well, this will give you a flavor.
Well, I wish we would have played the did Mark Burnett tweet this game?
Or not Mark Burnett.
Yeah, so it's at Mark Burnett TV. So it's one of the few Twitter handles with three T's in a row.
Oh.
Whoa.
But he says, Eric of No Limits is such an inspiration. Despite having no sight, he's climbed mountain peaks all over the world, including Everest.
Oh, I love how the accent is in the tweet.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you kind of have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I neglected to include Epic in there. But that would have been a pretty impressive tweet if Eric from No Limits hadn't said the exact same thing in his confessional a second earlier.
Oh.
Most of his tweets are just repeating what you see on TV.
Did Mark Burnett tweet the same things in the East Coast version and the West Coast version?
They were a little different. Actually, on the West Coast version, he was actively trying to mislead people, too.
What?
So one of his first tweets on the West Coast was, Latin persuasion just marched right by the country boys. Slow and steady wins the race.
Oh, so it was, and he wasn't literally giving a hint to who wins the race.
Yeah.
Right.
actively telling you that Latin persuasion is doing good.
Hmm. Very tricky, Mark Burnett. How many followers does Mark Burnett have on Twitter?
Let's see.
I typed it with only two T's.
Oh, you're silly.
Yeah.
Oh, 2,887.
Wow. Well, that's
I almost have as much as him.
Yeah, Nicole, you have almost as many as Mark Burnett.
He's only been on for like a week, though, and most of his tweets have been about The Voice, which I almost didn't follow him because that's all he was tweeting about at first.
Oh, and he does The Voice also?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, he just lost his street cred.
Who knew? Yeah, he's really pumping out the shows.
Yeah.
Pumping out the hits. Ooh, Mark Burnett is following 15 people. Who do you think he's following?
Is he following Rihanna, like Boston Rob?
I don't know. Let's see.
Queen Latifah?
Yeah. Okay. So Mark Burnett's following 15 people, according to this. Following I Am Queen Latifah, mm-hmm. right?
Obviously.
Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
The Lonely Island. Very interesting. I did not see that coming. Martha Stewart. Uh-huh. Okay, makes sense. Oprah. Dave Salmoni. Again. Did you know Dave Salmoni has a Twitter?
And you know he's a tiger tickler?
Yes. Dave Salmoni. How many Twitter followers do you think Dave Salmoni has?
If he has more than me, I'm going to be mad.
Dave Salmoni. Yes, oh, 10,000 Twitter followers.
And, wow. That's because he's making out with a tiger in his picture.
But it says, now, Jeff, you already followed Dave Salmoni?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Look at you.
I was excited about this show.
Did Dave Salmoni live tweet also?
I don't think he did, no.
Yeah.
Oh, and his location is in the bush.
Okay, good to know.
Just so you know.
So also, Mark Burnett follows Carson Daly.
Mm-hmm.
And then he follows Allison Hayslip, mm-hmm. who's the social media guru for NBC's The Voice,
mm-hmm.
Tony Robbins, Jeff Probst, Adam Levine, Blake Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
Is Blake Shelton with The Voice? Or do we know that?
He's one of the judges.
CeeLo Green, Real Christina, and The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a business account.
Yes.
I think so.
With Queen Latifah.
And Lonely Island, which is really interesting. Okay, so good to know.
Yes.
All right, so I'll follow Mark Burnett and see what he has to say. So your final verdict on Expedition Impossible to our listeners: keep watching, start watching,
don't watch anymore. Zero or a one?
It's a
0.5. No,
there's no 0.5.
Nicole's binary rating system. There is no 0.5.
It's a one then.
Okay.
Okay. So you liked it.
He liked it.
I liked it enough to watch the next episode.
Okay.
And are you a regular Amazing Race watcher?
I only watched the seasons that Rob and Amber were on, actually.
Oh, are you going to watch the season with Jenna and Ethan?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think we will too.
Yeah, I think the two of them on, it's going to bring in a lot of viewers.
Did you guys watch the Eco Challenge that had Jenna and Ethan on it?
The original Jenna and Ethan?
Yes.
No. The original Jenna and Ethan, right? Who is that? You're talking about, you know, it's Ethan, Jenna Lewis, Burton, and some other guy,
Burton's
right?
Burton was on it too.
It was two guys from Road Rules.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember their names.
Yeah. Not Burton.
They're all the same.
Yeah. Okay. See, Expedition Impossible. Eco Challenge to me is, all the things I don't like about Survivor and none of the things I do like about Survivor.
Yeah.
That's fair.
The camping stuff is really not the camping and the challenges. That's really the two things I don't particularly care for.
How did you make it on Survivor?
I like when you vote people out. I like that part. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on with us. I think you have a lot of good insight into Expedition Impossible. And maybe we'll at least record it.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, fair enough. And if you want to hear more from Jeff Pittman, check out at True Dork Times on Twitter, and of course, truedorktimes.com.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, take care, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Nicole, there you have it. Jeff Pittman.
Always insightful.
Always insightful. Yeah, that was good. We learned a lot about Expedition Impossible.
Without having to invest the time.
Yes, and that was actually half the time that it would have taken us to watch Expedition Impossible.
And then podcast about it.
And then podcast about it. Normally, we do the opposite.
I think we're onto a good recipe.
We take an hour-long show in Survivor, and somehow we turn that into a two-hour podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we had somebody else watch the show. And then we just talked about it with them for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And now it's like we watched it.
And it was painless.
And it was pretty painless. Mm-hmm. All right, Nicole, you ready to keep moving along?
Let's move along.
Moving right along. Let's get into Friggin' 3, which is, alien talk.
Scary.
This past Sunday was the two-hour premiere of a new show called Falling Skies on TNT from... It produced by Steven Spielberg, or Steven Spielberg was a producer on it, not the executive producer, but he had a little bit to do with it.
Did you know that Steven Spielberg drives a PT Cruiser?
Okay, and here's a real life argument that Nicole and I got into last Saturday. Nicole told me that she was driving along. Tell the story.
I was in Beverly Hills, driving to work. And I look over and I see a familiar face. And I said, oh my God, that's Steven Spielberg. And I was going to wave, but I didn't want to be that crazy person. So I just, I gave him the salute, the little sign, like I know you. And he was driving a Mini Cooper. He was driving a PT Cruiser.
Okay.
And that's the story.
So that's the story. So according to Nicole, Steven Spielberg is out driving a PT Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the worst car ever.
It was champagne colored.
In Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
According to Forbes magazine,
mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg is worth $3 billion. And Nicole thinks that she saw him out driving a PT Cruiser.
He was. It was totally him.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
I guarantee
you. He likes comfort.
No,
as well, opposed to luxury.
It's the worst car.
Have you ever been in one?
Yes.
No, you haven't.
And that's why they're all rent-a-cars or rental cars.
maybe he rented it.
They're all so Steven Spielberg is renting cars.
Maybe he was
in
an accident.
Worth $3 billion, according to Forbes magazine.
Maybe he just likes it.
No, nobody likes
it.
That's why they're all rental cars.
Likes it.
Because they made so many of them and nobody wants them and they had to give them to the
rental car companies.
Nobody wants a PT Cruiser.
Steven Spielberg. Does.
I told Nicole's dad this story. He had a good line. He said maybe it was an E.T. Cruiser.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
That was after 10 glasses of wine.
Yeah. So that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It was him.
Sure, Nicole.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Nicole always claims to that she saw a celebrity. She's like, Chunk in the Goonies that said,
I am not a fat boy.
But he said that, just like the time Michael Jackson came over to use his bathroom, this is like the time Nicole.
That happened to me once too.
Yeah.
But it was LaToya.
Right. Speaking of Goonies, got a Goonies podcast coming up.
I love that movie.
Very soon.
Did you know that I love that movie?
No. Why, do you want to be in the Goonies podcast?
I don't think I'd be very good in it.
Yeah. We try to keep you out of the movie podcast.
Yeah.
That's just my show.
Well, what's my show?
Nicole's a Girl Cast.
I only had one.
Okay, we'll do another one.
Yeah. No one wants to do it with me.
Hey, now. So, Steven Spielberg of PT Cruiser fame, he had something to do with the Falling Skies. I was very excited for Falling Skies, and we watched the show, 2-hour premiere on TNT. Lots of other people watched it.
Took 2 days to watch.
5.9 million viewers, almost as many as people who watched Expedition Impossible on ABC. Biggest cable premiere of the year, so for Falling Skies. But I have to say, Falling Skies, I think I was just, I don't know if I was falling in love with it.
I'm just
a little lukewarm on the Falling Skies.
With the ratings, does that take into account the people that DVR it?
I'm not sure if that's...
Because who watches live anymore?
I think it does...
8.5 million viewers?
I think it does take into account the DVR.
Mm-hmm.
Falling Skies, Nicole, does this seem like a show that you could get into? And let me just set up a little bit of what it is. Falling Skies is basically, it's almost like The Walking Dead, but with aliens. So the aliens came, they landed, they took over, and now our heroes are on the run from the aliens.
I like it. Because, as opposed to The Walking Dead, like, The Walking Dead is really disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of get nauseous when I'm watching it, especially after eating a big meal. Like, I feel like I'm going to vomit.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they're going to do multiple seasons of this. Like, it just seems...
Well, they're already getting ready for a second season of this.
And it seems like it would be hard to do.
Yeah.
Although Noah Wiley's in it, and I do love Noah Wiley from my ER days.
Is Noah Wiley a studly guy, in your opinion?
No.
Yeah.
But I like the dorks.
So Noah Wiley, he plays a former history professor, and he doesn't stop talking about being a history professor.
I didn't think it was that bad, but I only watched the first hour.
Talking a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very confusing, the dynamic of his family, in that he has, like, all sorts of different sons.
He has three sons.
But they're,
all
like, all
different sons.
All different ages. Like, he has, like,
because
a little...
Because they're not triplets.
He has, like, a little kid, and then he has a son who's, like, 20, and then he has another son who's, like, who's been taken by the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And the aliens, they can... turn you into, like, a robot.
They put a harness on you.
They put a harness on you.
Like we do Reyes the dog.
Like we do to Reyes. I don't think that the aliens look particularly cool. I don't really like how the aliens
look. All of the aliens look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they all... Like, I don't know if you've seen Cloverfield, but it's very similar to the alien in Cloverfield.
I reptil-
like, they all look like...
Reptilian.
No, they all look like spiders.
I guess
they look
so.
Like big spiders.
I don't think the alien in Cloverfield looked like a big spider.
He had little spiders that fell out of him.
He had he did have spiders that fell out of him, but he did not. He himself did not look like a spider.
He looked like Godzilla.
He looked like more like Godzilla. That's yeah. right. But reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
So and they call them skitters.
They were a few different names for them. There were skitters. I think there was a few different types of aliens. There are the ones that were like the robot ones.
No, the robot ones aren't. They're not aliens.
What
are they? They're robots that the aliens built.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Yes. That's what.
Oh, they look like robots.
Nicole doesn't watch a lot of sci-fi, so I didn't really like that there was like these big robot things walking around. I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't love Fallen Skies. I'd love to know what you guys thought about it. I'll keep watching it, but just lukewarm.
I miss the good old days when aliens had big heads and big eyeballs.
Yeah. And then also we saw the Super 8 this past weekend.
Yes, we did.
Which I had heard good things about, but I have to say Super 8, I also was not too impressed.
Yes, you called it Mediocre 8.
I called it Mediocre 8.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing with Falling Skies that I noticed, it seems as though the aliens came to Earth, and it seems as though the first thing they did was found all the gloves and cut the fingers out.
It makes you look badass.
I guess so. Yeah. Everybody in Falling Skies has a set of gloves with no fingers on them.
Yeah, you look like a bum.
They look like homeless people. I guess they are homeless people.
Yes, it's really sad.
Because the aliens took their homes.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is pretty sad.
I hate aliens.
they always mess everything up. And then Super 8, we saw that. I enjoyed the first hour of this movie.
Yes.
But I thought that the last hour was not so super.
Not so super.
It was not so super.
It was a cute movie. It was, I liked it.
I think
it was, the lead girl was Dakota Fanning's sister.
Whoa.
Wowzer.
Wowzer indeed.
Yeah.
So not such a great weekend for the aliens.
No, the aliens are not winning.
The aliens are...
What about Cowboys versus Aliens? You want to go see that when it comes out?
I do want to see Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yeah. Who are you rooting for?
I think that I would be rooting for the aliens.
Oh, I want to root for the Cowboys.
Yeah. I don't know. I bet the Indians have an alliance with the aliens.
I bet the Indians are pissed off.
Why?
Because they're not included.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
All right. So I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about Super 8.
Yes.
Because I feel like most people liked it, but I did not enjoy that last... People said I was being too hard on Super 8.
I think you were being a little hard. I think you went in with really high expectations. It was a cute movie. It wasn't...
Look, when Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams get together and make a movie...
They make a spider alien.
I'm expecting it's gonna be something that I could sink my teeth into a little bit more. And
things have changed since he got a PT Cruiser.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that movie was a PT Cruiser. somebody who I work with was telling me that J.J. Abrams actually had two different scripts, one for Super 8 and one for an alien movie.
And he merged them?
And Steven Spielberg said, why don't you just make them into one movie? And I think I just liked Super 8 and I didn't like the alien movie.
Yeah.
And what'd you think of the alien in Super 8?
I didn't like him in the beginning, but then when you got to know him in that one scene, he was nice.
I didn't like him in any of the scenes, and I didn't like that he got to know
I feel like
people.
They tried to do, like, an E.T. sort of thing with the aliens.
What is he, hanging people upside down?
And putting them in, like, spider webs?
Yeah.
In cocoons?
Don't like it.
Yeah, that was weird.
Didn't care for that.
But they weren't dead. They were just hanging upside down with all the blood rushing to their head, and they weren't dead.
All right. Are you ready to move on from alien talk?
I guess I was just on a roll.
Anything else from the aliens?
No, I'm good.
All right, Nicole, here we go. Friggin' 4, and it is... Oh, an update on 180 Film.
Ooh, an update.
Well, Nicole, we've been doing a lot of podcasts lately.
Yes.
And controversy has been...
Oh, you have.
Yes. Controversy has been a theme of many of the podcasts we've done recently. And the 180 cast was no exception.
Well, that is our middle name.
We sent our reporter, Jeremiah Panhorst, down to Springfield.
On assignment.
Yeah, on assignment, where he covered the film. He had a wonderful time, great evening, but he had some criticisms of the film.
Which he's entitled to.
Which he's entitled to. Everybody's allowed to have their opinion. He did not particularly care for Coach's film.
Right.
Well, this did not go over too well with William Price, who was one of the producers of the 180 film.
Okay.
He wanted his chance to rebuttal some of the things that Jeremiah had to say. And so we're going to go ahead and get William Price III, one of the producers of 180, and we're going to get him on the line. And he wanted a chance to be able to correct some things that he feels like Jeremiah got wrong.
Okay.
So we're going to get him on the line.
We're always stirring the pot.
We're not stirring the pot. we are the pot.
This time.
Yeah.
Oh, this is William.
William, what's going on? You are on with Rob and Nicole, and we wanted to...
Hi, Rob and Nicole.
Hi.
We wanted to bring you in. You are one of the producers and the writer of 180?
That is correct. I'm the executive producer. There's one other, Paul Bilk, was the executive producer as well of the project, and yes, I did write it. as much as you know, with your independent project... You pretty much do everything on the project, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, William, I'm glad that you reached out to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you wanted to listen to the last podcast. And I know that you felt like there were some things that our reviewer or our reporter got wrong. And so we're very happy to offer you the opportunity to say whatever you wanted to say about 180. and so what sort of things did Jeremiah not exactly have correct in your opinion?
Well, Jeremiah pretty much got the entire event wrong. I mean, from the get-go. I think it was, when he introduced himself to me, he told me that he was a Mad Men blogger and he was doing it as a favor for you, you know, to come down and check
and
out the event.
And he was.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool. So, you know, I introduced myself. I said, I can get you in with all the celebrities, you know, get them to talk to them, Steve Ewing and Danielle. The idea was to get Coach there, but obviously he wasn't there. So
he's busy.
Yeah, but the way that he portrays the event, it did not happen the way that he talked about. He talked about how there was only 100 people there, and there were about 350 people, to be exact.
Okay, that's good.
It was much bigger than he gave us credit for.
Yeah.
I thought he said maybe between 100 and 200.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And it was like 350 to 400, to be exact. I mean, it was like double what he said it was. And, you know, those are fickle things. What I wanted to talk about, really, and what really perturbed me was the idea that, you know, he represented... he represented the film as such a small thing and that it was a bunch of, you know, small town yokels that were all connected by families that all went there. And he proceeded to do the hillbilly accent, which, you know, I don't know. I mean, those kind of things get to me. And the whole idea of this event wasn't to have something that would sell out in L.A. or something that would sell out in New York. This movie was born and bred in Springfield, Missouri. That was the whole reason why we had it there. Was that we shot the movie in Springfield. Coach is from the area, from Bolivar. Our investor was from that area, who is Paul Doak. He's also the executive producer. And Chris Johnson, Nathan Pope, the director. They're all from that area. So we wanted to do something special for Springfield. And for all the filmmakers that we grew up with, that all went to SMS, or Southwest Missouri State, I think it's called now, University.
Uh-huh.
And, we just wanted to do something for us. You know, and at the same time, use our limited marketing to try to bring other people to the event. So really, it was friends and family, but it was of the filmmakers. It wasn't a bunch of yokels from yonder coming down to check out the film. So I'm sorry about the traffic, by the way.
I was going to comment on this, that I think it's great that you are driving. And one of the few other guests we've had on this podcast who were driving was also Coach.
Was Coach himself.
So that's some symmetry there.
That's great.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're able to correct some things, and I can tell that it sounds like you're a little hurt by Jeremiah's review. And I don't think that he was trying to be mean spirited or anything like this. I think there's, you know, something to the we as Survivor fans, we love Coach,
right?
And we are always amused by Coach. So I think that the Survivor fans are going to
they're love it.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy the 180 film as much as humanly possible.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm going to tell you, the other thing that kind of bothered me was this perception that Coach was overacting. And, you know, he just made it sound like a joke. And I get what you're saying. You guys are fantastic. I heard during your podcast, you guys were constantly trying to steer it to the positive side of things. Mm-hmm. And every time you would do that, he would slam another part of me. I didn't get to see Danielle. Well, you know what? Danielle was there at 4:30 with everybody else. You know, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know where he got lost or the fact that he didn't realize there was a balcony and two concerts at the beginning of the show, which, you know, he said, I don't know why we paid $20 for this. And, you know,
I think he had a good time.
Ewing concert.
Yeah.
You go to a Steve Ewing concert in St. Louis, it's $10, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like you get two concerts and a movie for $20. That's pretty cool, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think that's a night out.
Well, I think it is pretty, it is cool. I don't want to make this about Jeremiah, but I do think that, you know, what you may find, it's sort of a dichotomy of, you know, having a reality star in a project, because what's great about having a reality star like Coach in the film and Danielle is that, you know, we probably wouldn't know anything about the 180 film if it wasn't for those guys.
Right.
But the downside of that is that people are going to...
they're very passionate.
Well, people are going to poo-poo the project a bit more than they would because you have a reality star in your project.
Right.
So there is a double-edged sword there.
Well, I just want to free my mind. Now, about the Coach thing, I want you to know, as the executive producer, you know, obviously I'm going to have a bias toward the movie and writing to... You know, I'm gonna feel that way. I'm gonna tell you up front, when I wrote this character, when I wrote the main character of this movie, it was nothing. I don't want to say it was nothing like Coach. It was exactly like Coach, but it was nothing like him. I don't know how else to describe it.
I don't know if anybody liked Coach.
I treated it as a serious character, and Coach really played him as a goofball character. And I'm telling you, if you go in with a non-biased, if you hate him, you love him, you go in as a film, you go in as a film just lover, and you see his performance, it is a comedy, and the overacting parts that everybody's like, oh, he overacts, that's the comedy, you know, that's
right.
The thing is that he's being a goofball on purpose, and it wasn't him overacting, it was him just playing the role, so, I don't know.
Okay,
well, that's fair.
Yeah.
When do we get to see this for ourselves?
I love his performance. He makes the entire movie for me. So he really does.
Well, we're
dying
to see it.
To work with him was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you could say the same thing about Coach's performance
on
Survivor. Survivor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Coach is Coach.
It was just an amazing thing. And Danielle was a class act. I mean, she came in and just rocked the house. I wish I could have written more lines for her. But I'm telling you guys, I mean, when this comes out on DVD, you guys will be the... You guys will be the first in line to get a DVD.
Okay.
And we'll send it out to you. And then I want you I don't have to be back on another podcast. I just want you two to watch it and call me back. You have my number. And just tell me what you think of it. Because I really feel like we have a gem. You know, it's not without its flaws.
Mm-hmm.
It's not without its flaws. I mean, we had a couple of St. Louis filmmakers come down. They were doing a documentary with Steve Ewing. And are for Steve Ewing, and that those were the guys that he had no idea what they were there for with the camera, Jeremiah. And they shot it, and the guy came out and he says, as a fellow filmmaker, I'm going to give you the flaws of the movie. He told me what he thought was wrong with it, but he said, I'm going to tell you what, for every flaw, there's 3 to 5 things great about it. And I just thought that was spectacular. He had no reason to say that to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I really feel that way. I felt that way when we were in the editing process. I thought, man, Coach is just rocking the house. There's some problems, but, you know, I don't know. Coach and Danielle and Steve Ewing, all three, and Randy Evans were just the highlights, as well as Bill Nguyen. So I really want to see what you guys think. I'll stop talking.
I hear you, William. That I know it's very hard when you know this is something, this is your baby, and you know you don't want to hear anything but the best about it. But just you know, when you're dealing with the reality stars, the reality community, as much as like the biggest website about Survivor is called Survivor Sucks. This is what people wanted. That's one of the things about reality TV is like we love it, but we love to make fun of it also. So just take it with a grain of salt. And you know, the good is going to outweigh the bad with this thing because you know more and more people are going to know about this movie. And really, if they're buying it, I mean, who cares? Who cares?
As long as they're buying it.
Why they're getting into it. And I hope that this is going to be, you know, the first of, you know, great things for you in your career.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. And you too. both of you, I just, you know, I really appreciated you even just doing a story about it because, you know, like you said, the more word about it, more word about 180 that's out there, you know, take it or if you do feel like coaches, you know, not performing to standard, I guess that's more reason to buy it and you know, watch them goof up and laugh about it, play a drinking game. I don't know.
It'll happen. I
love you guys. Thank you so much for
thank you,
on
William.
Your show.
Oh, this was
awesome.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and best of luck.
We'll be waiting for our DVD.
All right.
Take care. All right. Bye. All right, Nicole. Oh, there you have it.
That was good.
William Price III.
The third.
Yeah. Okay, Nicole. 4 friggins in the books.
Oh my goodness.
Only 1 friggin left to go. Do you have any idea what friggin 5 could be?
I have no friggin idea.
No friggin idea. Here it is. It's friggin 5, and it's potluck in your comments.
Oh.
Ooh.
Potpourri.
So I said this at the top of the show. Some very sad news this week, and really some news out of nowhere.
Oh, I don't like sad news.
Sad news or news out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's where most news comes from.
Yeah, usually.
Or sometimes you hear rumors first, and then it becomes news.
Sometimes rumors come from somewhere.
They come from somewhere. But very upsetting news this week that one of our live tweeters, and of course the live tweeters all do a great job.
Yes.
And a job that goes too often unrecognized.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our favorite live tweeters, perhaps the most well-known of all the live tweeters, Rob's Podcast Bell, had an announcement this week, a very sad one, that said, on June 22nd, Rob's Podcast Bell tweeted, Hey all, thanks for the following, but I am retiring the Rob's Podcast Bell Twitter.
Oh.
It was a fun hobby, and I have enjoyed tweeting with fellow Rob Has a Podcast fans, hashtag ding.
No, or, that should get a taboo buzzer.
No, that should get the sad bell, which is...
That's the same bell.
Yeah, that
was sad.
That's sad. I don't know what happened here.
What did we do?
I don't know if we upset the podcast bell that the bell committed Twitter side.
Oh, Twitter side.
But I'm hoping that this... I mean, do
Please
we have...
Please reconsider.
Do we have to retire the bell from the show?
We might have to.
We love the Rob's Podcast Bell on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I always looked at Rob's Podcast Bell as the captain of the live tweeters.
He was the go-to. Yeah.
The one that he had the best hashtag.
Now he's the one that got away.
He's the one that got away. And now I feel like we have to have some sort of a competition to see who the new captain of the live tweeters is.
So will they take over Rob's Podcast Bell?
No, I don't think they ever take over Rob's Podcast Bell.
Uh-huh.
But I think
he revealed his identity.
Yeah, well, then Rob's Podcast Bell, then you asked the Podcast Bell to come back.
Right.
And Rob's Podcast Bell, in very much in character, tweeted, boobs or I retire, those are my terms.
And then I said that... Reyes the dog will show you her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't go for
it. And then one final tweet from Rob's Podcast Bell. Again, I had fun doing the bell bit, especially Ding, Marry, Kill. Feel free to follow my real and more boring tweeter, Hey Mike R, short for Mike Ramone.
And I don't mean to brag.
Yeah.
But if you go back to when Rob's Podcast Bell first came out,
yeah,
I did say, I think it's Mike Ramone.
Because everybody's gonna go back.
They may.
This is more impressive than when you predicted Fabio.
I'm comparing it to Fabio.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And what was the other thing you were right about?
I'm a friggin' genius.
Yeah. What was the other one that you were right about?
Those are the only 2 things I've ever been right about.
There was something else. I'm sure we could think of it. So Rob's Podcast Bell, should we campaign for Rob's Podcast Bell to come out of retirement a la Brett Favre?
I think so. I mean, we got to do what we can.
I don't know. So I don't know. Should we tweet to Rob at Rob's Podcast Bell? Let me speak with at Rob's Podcast Bell just 1-to-1.
Do you want me to leave?
No, you can stay.
Okay.
Podcast Bell. I don't know. I don't know if you're mad at me if I did something wrong.
Was it the hole puncher?
You were my favorite thing on this desk.
Mm-hmm.
I like you more than anything else that's on this desk, and.
There's a lot of things on this desk.
Yeah, I don't understand. I feel like we're doing really good things with this podcast.
No, it's not you.
I just feel
me.
Like if you're walking out on me.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
It's messed up. I don't know. I'm upset.
You really upset him.
Yeah. So, upsetting news. So hopefully, this is just, maybe the podcast bell is just dealing with some stuff.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully, he changes his mind.
I hope he reconsiders.
I hope he reconsiders. Yeah. All right. So, and then, but if we have to move on with life without the podcast bell, I think it's time to elect a new captain of the live tweeters.
The rest of them have to step up to the plate.
And we're except, I would love to see some campaigning, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But that's for another day.
Or you can start by telling us how funny we are, how beautiful we are.
All right, that's for the live tweeters.
Amazing.
To decide on. We were asking some people today. I always like to, when we do the Friggin' Five, check in with the Rob Has a Podcast Nation over on Facebook and ask them for some their suggestions, what they want to hear us talk about.
I like to call them our army.
The army? The army?
Yes.
So Zach Brooks writes, Ding, Marry, Kill Politics Edition, Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, and Hillary Clinton.
Ooh. Nicole,
now, do you know who Michelle Bachmann is?
No.
Okay.
Sounds hot, though.
Mm. Yeah. So, anything?
Well, if I had to play, I would kill Hillary Clinton.
Why?
I wouldn't want to ding her.
Yeah.
And neither did Bill.
Well, that's why you marry her, and then you get to get ding whoever you want.
No, I think I would F Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Did we talk about this? Did you know that Wiener's wife works for Hillary Clinton? Did we talk about this?
We didn't, but I did hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awkward. Actually, it's not really awkward. It's like, hey, let me take you out for coffee.
Been there.
Yeah, I don't think this is a really good one. I think that you probably F Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Marry
that chick I don't know.
Marry Hillary Clinton and kill Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, I don't know who she is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then we got some people asking for Expedition Impossible.
You got it.
Keith Black wants to know, Stealth R Us or The Brigade?
Good question.
Yeah, which is good? Which is higher in your power rankings?
That's a good question. Stealth R Us made it to the end. Did all of The Brigade make it to the end?
Yes, they were the final three.
They were
Grant
the final
did
three.
Not make it to the end.
Oh, Grant did not. Oh, so then The Brigade.
Yeah. I will say, because Stealth R Us was never real. It was imaginary.
It was made up in a crazy man's head.
Yeah.
And not in a racist way.
Season premiere of Hoarders from Eric Hoffner. Do they do a really big episode for the season premiere of Hoarders?
Oh, I'd like to see the season finale.
Yeah. I've been meaning to catch up on Hoarders. I do have all of the DVDs, and I'm just I have a big pile of them that I'm just collecting in a room. And
yes, there's going to be a camera crew coming in tomorrow.
Trying to reach them. I can't get to them. So how about this? Joe Heydrich says, psychopath Ron Artest of the LA Lakers. Have you ever heard of this person, Ron Artest?
Yes.
So Ron Artest, he once famously went into the stands to fight a fan at a basketball game.
Yes.
He is filing to change his name to Meta World Peace, thus trumping the previous name change of Chad Johnson to Chad Ochocinco in terms of ridiculousness. Do you have a do you like that name?
I don't understand
Meta World Peace.
Why was he always for World Peace?
Well, not when he was beating up that fan in the stands.
Apparently not.
A little hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he would have a jersey that says World Peace. So that would be good.
So Meta would be his first name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
And then the announcer was, you know, World Peace for two! Yes!
World Peace! Missed the shot!
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds
it's wacky.
Stupid.
It's pretty wacky.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Ridic.
Ryan Hockley says, more funny Long Island stories. Nicole, do you have any funny Long Island stories?
I have
today?
A ton of them, but none that come off the tip of my tongue.
Okay. Pamela J. Haggerty Williams wants us to talk about Luke Irvin Crisco. And so I didn't know
who's
who this
that?
Is. She says, Google it. So I did. And this was a news story that escaped me. But as always, a lot of people, they come to Rob as a podcast for all of their news. And so we deliver. This is from Boulder, Colorado this week. A suspect was arrested finally in the Boulder Porta Potty Peeping Tom incident.
Oh my goodness.
Boulder Porta Potty Peeping Tom incident. Did you know there was a Porta Potty Peeping Tom incident?
I didn't know there was another incident.
This is from Boulder, Colorado. This is reporting the KDVR News is reporting. Authorities believe they've captured the man who ran from last week's Hunaman Yoga Festival in Boulder after he was seen hiding in a portable toilet.
Oh my goodness.
Now, I think
that's disgusting.
I think that you're not fully grasping that, yes, he was in the porta potty, but he was in the toilet.
Oh, he was in it.
He was
looking at butt cracks.
He was getting the view from below.
Nice butt crack.
Yes, I don't know if he used Nicole's pickup line. But yes, he was.
How does he hide in there? Is he a little person?
I don't know. On June 17th, a woman entered the portable toilet at the Hunaman Yoga Festival in Boulder. After lifting the toilet lid, she noticed movement inside the tank and immediately exited the portable toilet and asked a nearby man for help.
So he would get peed on?
And worse. The man saw the suspect hiding in the tank and left. The suspect then left himself inside before attempting to leave for about 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And so a security supervisor was waiting for the man as he exited, but the suspect, who was covered with waste from the tank, managed to run away. And I also heard he had a...
No one wanted to tackle the man covered in shit.
I also heard about this man who has now been captured by the authorities. And his name is Luke Irvin Crisco, who I would love to have on the podcast because I have a lot of questions for him.
As long as it's a phone podcast.
A phone podcast, yeah. We don't want him at the house.
Via Skype.
He also had a tarp in there with him as if he were at a front row at a Gallagher concert. So so he was in there, but I guess he had the tarp over him so nothing would get on his face, I guess.
Oh, gotta protect so his face.
So I guess he couldn't see. I guess he could have.
So he got rid of the tarp.
Gone with goggles. I don't know. I guess he left the tarp in there.
Oh my goodness! What a crazy man! Lock this guy up. Throw away the key.
But these are the stories we're going to bring you. So thank you, Pamela, for bringing this story to my attention.
Well, there was another arrest that was close to home here.
Yeah, what
in
happened?
Many ways, the mobster that the Departed was. Created about was arrested here in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
In Kelly Czarnecki's neighborhood.
To Kelly Czarnecki?
What?
To Kelly Czarnecki or Santa Monica is Kelly Czarnecki?
That's like, where she lives.
Yeah, why are you bringing her into this?
Because she tweeted that it was like a few blocks away from her.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that Santa Monica, you were just saying, throwing that away that, you know who else lives in Santa Monica?
No, I mean, I'm saying it was actually where she lived.
Okay. They're interesting.
Yes.
Okay. And then we also, let me see if there's anything else. Most of the stuff we covered. We covered Jenna and Ethan. Henry Jenkins wants to know, should the Mets trade Jose Reyes?
No.
Along similar lines, should Nicole trade Reyes the dog? Two-part question. I'll take them one at a time.
Good question.
For the Mets, should they trade Jose Reyes? As many people know, we do have a dog named Reyes the dog.
Jose Reyes.
Named after a famous baseball player, Jose Reyes, who is in the final year of his contract with the Mets and is having an MVP-type season for the Mets. In
unlike
his contract
Reyes the
year.
Dog.
Not having her best season.
No.
Anyway, so the Major League Baseball trading deadline is July 31st, and the Mets, who have some financial issues, may not have the wherewithal and
the
money
funds.
After being fleeced by Bernie Madoff to be able to sign
bastard
Jose Reyes.
Yes.
I think the answer to this is the Mets should not trade Jose Reyes.
Agreed.
Wait until the end of the season. Try to negotiate a contract with him, and worst case scenario is he leaves. The Mets still get two draft choices in the draft as compensation for him leaving.
Yeah,
but they're
going
to try to
resign
him. If somebody's going to throw crazy money at him, then
he's going to take it.
Then he's going to take it, and you can't hamstring the team.
Although the Sestrininos probably should trade Reyes the dog.
For Reyes the dog and Nicole, my advice is Nicole should listen to offers.
Yes.
See what other people come back with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, you know, it would be foolish just to say no.
I'm not going to say no right off the bat. I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
What you have to offer.
And if she leaves...
It's the best deal.
If she leaves at the end of the year, then we still get two draft picks.
We get two?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I get two dogs?
You could use them for two dogs, or you could trade them to get one dog.
Oh, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I want to get to a couple of your comments from the recent shows. And I just wanted to stress this, that the comments, this is a democracy.
Okay.
This is you. You can have your voice heard. Click like next to the comments that you like, and uh-huh. And those are the ones that I'm that will pop up first, and then I will read them on the show.
Yes.
Okay. So we did a few podcasts recently. I want to touch on go back to the the relationship cast.
Oh, okay.
The love and dating advice show,
mm-hmm.
And people seem to really enjoy that.
Yes.
When do you want to do that again?
Probably within the next month or two.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
We need to get updates from the people we helped.
Will a girl cast be before this?
Do you think we should do a girl cast?
I think you should
Rob
do
is very
girl
encouraging
cast.
About another girl cast. I'm still traumatized from the
first
one. I
think once a month is the right time frame for a girl cast. And I know we did one at the end of May, and it's the end of June now.
Okay. I'm a little nervous. I feel like I'm a very good co-host.
Mm-hmm.
But to take the driver's seat, I'm a little hesitant.
Well, I think you did a good job.
Oh, well, thank you.
So from the Dating and Relationship Podcast, Rob has a pod fan said, for the girl that's trying to get noticed, for the girl that's trying to get noticed, the time for her to strike is running out. She needs to come out with a Rebecca Black remix, It's Frey Day, for Jessica Frey. Then after she's rolling in
one.
All the money from her overnight hit, she can pay Justin Bieber to pretend to be her boyfriend at school.
Oh.
This will lead to the boy she's trying to attract to punch out Justin Bieber in a fit of jealousy, ask Frey to the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, and then live happily ever after listening to Rob Has a Podcast together.
That's the greatest fairy tale I've ever heard.
Yeah, good job on that one, Rob
it's
Has a Podcast.
Frey Day.
Then a question, same podcast from Tiny T, all caps, hey, Rob, this is actually an important question. Who do you play in Mario Kart Wii?
Oh, that's okay. A good question.
That is a very important question.
We used to love Mario Kart Wii.
We used to love
Wii. Wii.
So this is actually a very important question. And
I feel like it tells a lot about you.
I'm glad you asked it. And I usually would prefer to be sometimes Wario.
Wario. Mm-hmm. That's Rob's alter ego.
Yes, but more often than not, just Mario.
Yeah.
I like Mario. I feel like he is the most well-rounded of the Wii Mario Kart racers.
Although I feel like you look more like Luigi.
I look more like Luigi. I don't have a mustache.
I have a picture of you with a mustache and a glass of wine, and you looked just like Luigi.
Well, was I dressed up like Mario?
No.
like
no,
I
you
was
were
on
not.
Halloween. All right, and then Paul K writes from the 180 podcast. He writes, "I don't do the tweeter." #181.
You need to get on the Twitter.
Which we asked people to tweet us at the end of that show. Someone check my math. If it's necessarily true that Coach Wade drunk equals Adam Sandler drunk in Billy Madison, then my logically follows Mr. Penguin from Billy Madison equals Russell Hance?
Ooh.
okay. I'll buy that.
That sounds good.
Now, speaking of Billy Madison,
mm-hmm.
This weekend I am scheduled to record the long-awaited Billy Madison podcast with Eric Stein. It's been about 4 months since I've done a podcast with Eric Stein. Far too long. He's very reclusive.
Uh-huh.
He's the podcasting J.D. Salinger.
Uh-huh.
He only comes out of his...
The depressed man.
And he only comes out of his shell. Every so often.
Okay, so you get a strike while the iron's hot.
A strike while the iron is hot. We've been collaborating on this for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
We're scheduled to record it Sunday.
Okay, good. I'm working.
So, we'll see.
Yeah.
And lots of Billy Madison questions will be answered.
Billy Madison, that was a good movie.
You like that movie?
I do.
All right, now let's get into the NBC Top 20 of All Time podcast, which has, in fact, become a bit of the most controversial podcast I think we've ever done.
which is ridiculous.
Well, people feel very strongly about this, about the, their characters, the TV,
yes.
And it does make me feel very happy to know that, look, who am I? I'm a guy who was on Survivor.
I'm a guy.
That's what I said?
That's the way you said it.
Yeah. I'm a guy who was on Survivor, 37 years ago. And, I'm just doing a show talking about who are the best characters. I really don't have any power to say who is the greatest characters, but this made a lot of people very upset.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of that anger was targeted at my good friend Gordon Holmes.
Oh, and he is such a nice guy.
Isn't he very nice?
Yes.
So Matthew von Ertfelder, who I didn't even know he watched TV, he wrote, Gordon Holmes is simply one of the worst, if not the worst, Rob Has a Podcast guests of all time. It takes Holmes a full 30 minutes to even understand the basic premise of the process that Rob laid out at the very clearly at the beginning. That fact was incredibly annoying. In addition, Holmes' comments are extremely banal, and there's virtually no intelligence behind his thoughts. This is not fair.
Yeah, I think that's a bit harsh.
Yeah. So he basically says that Holmes makes
a
podcast virtually impossible to listen to.
No.
And I just feel as though I think a lot of people were unhappy
with the
list
results
that we came up with.
And they're blaming it
and
on
they were blaming
Gordon.
On Gordon Holmes. And I thought Gordon Holmes not only did a great job, this was his idea.
Yeah, and he took time out of his day, his life,
yeah,
to do this.
So I understand if you don't like the list.
Right.
But that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't take it out on Gordon Holmes. Because
he's a friend of the podcast.
Other than the clicking gate. We've never had any sort of, people didn't have these feelings about Gordon Holmes when we talked about Survivor or any of these things.
Right.
So I think Gordon Holmes has really unfairly become a lightning rod here,
yes,
on this particular podcast.
Yeah.
And people love their TV.
They do.
They take this very seriously, and people love Niles, apparently, from,
yes,
Frasier.
I was called Karen.
Yes.
Did you call me Karen on the podcast?
No, but I did say she's holding a martini.
Okay, because I was getting tweets that I was Karen.
Yeah, the picture of her did somewhat resemble a picture you might take. And one more comment. This is from Michael.
Okay.
And Michael is looking for, I'll explain what he's looking for. Michael says, Rob, you said feelings will get hurt if you do a Survivor ranking, but other than Russell, who probably doesn't even listen to the podcast. Well, apparently he did.
Yeah.
I don't see anyone getting too upset about not making a 20 best players list. You think your listeners would love, I think your listeners would love that. You talk about Parvati being the best, but she might not be number one if you have one or two others doing it with you, plus the commenters. I'd also like to see how you rank not so talked about players like Todd, Earl, Natalie, Danny, and Tina. Which Natalie White?
It doesn't matter.
So you ranking yourself would also be funny if Nicole was there too. It might be the single best podcast ever.
I think that's a great idea.
See, I disagree because a lot of people have asked this week for we should rank the top 20 best survivors in the same sort of way that we did the top 20 best TV characters.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that it would just be too much controversy. Look at this. I got people writing mean things about Gordon Holmes because we didn't have Niles high enough on the list. Now, what's going to happen when people who actually we know were ranking,
yes,
and people who have like really big fan bases? Let's go back to
who was
better out of Parvati and Sandra debate. From the finale of Heroes versus Villains. I think there's like 300 comments on that podcast.
And then it turned into like a
for
race
weeks,
war.
And then people will get like fighting with each other, yelling,
yeah,
at each other. Look, we love all the survivors.
Some more than others.
There's a Survivor Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to go down the line. Now, I would be interested to kind of seeing March Madness like they did with the Madden covers coming up in March, where we have the 64 best survivors and people vote one by one.
Can we rank the winners?
If you want to rank the winners, go ahead and rank the winners.
What do I know about it?
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I'm
just trying to give the listeners what they want.
Yeah. Because
obviously you don't want to
do that. Here's my goal at the end of the day. Yeah, I want to make an entertaining podcast, but I want people who were on Survivor
to come on the show.
Come on this show and talk to me.
Yes.
And
invite us to parties.
Once I rank somebody 27, then they're not, that person who in their mind is number two, is pissed off at me.
Oh, especially the person who is ranked 300.
Yeah. So I understand you guys. I leave all the ranking of the survivors.
Sorry, Dan Limbo.
To you guys.
Yeah.
And I will rank the other nonsense that nobody gets mad if I rank it poorly.
Okay.
Steve Carell isn't pissed off tonight that he got ranked. In case you didn't
know. Haven't checked the comments.
I haven't checked the comments. But I hope you guys understand. I know that you guys would like to.
It's a good discussion
would
to
enjoy
have in
a
the,
podcast.
In the
but
comments.
It would just get very complicated. Mm. And sticky.
Sticky, sticky.
And
sticky,
not
icky, icky.
Yeah, not in the good way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Nicole. Do we have anything else? Do we cover it all?
I think that's it. Are there any shows coming up that we need to check out? Any summer movies that we need to check out?
Well, I don't know. Let us know, as always, if there's anything we need to check out, either on Twitter, at Rob Sesternino, or at Nicole Love Shoes, or in the comments, or on Facebook. There's a million different ways.
There's so many ways to contact us.
Get a hold of us.
Come to the door.
Don't come to our door.
The neighbor's door.
I prefer not. Upcoming podcasts. I mentioned the Billy Madison podcast is coming up. I'm working on putting together a Goonies podcast.
Mm.
We're going to talk Love in the Wild a bit next week.
And I guess we'll work on a Nicole as a Girl cast.
Nicole, I'm going to push Nicole to get on Nicole as a Girl cast and anything else we come up with along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And when breaking news happens,
we're on it.
We're on it. Now, I had said earlier in the show I wanted to give some thanks to people. I told people, if you use the Amazon.com link on the side of the Rob Has a Website page to buy yourself something, treat yourself to something nice,
mm-hmm.
and send me a note on Twitter about it. I've been trying to go ahead and favorite all those so I can give people the shout-outs here. And let me see if I can find that real quick.
Yes.
Nicole, could you fill time for a second?
Yes, I actually wanted to give a shout out to my buddy Will. He was wanting to do, it's June is National Gay Pride Month.
Ooh.
So, but June is, it's almost over. I don't think we're going to be able to do a gay cast for Gay Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to give him a shout out, let him know that we were thinking about him. And New York just passed the Gay Marriage Act.
Ooh.
So we got to give a big shout out to that.
Okay. Just a couple of shout outs here for people who have been using the Amazon. So our buddy Ed Returney bought DVD storage binders.
Oh, thank you, Ed.
Truth 116, he bought a dope sound system off Amazon last week for my frat house at college.
I think he's a liar. Truth is a liar.
Ryan Reddy bought a cologne through the link twice in the last few weeks. I asked him why he had to buy cologne twice.
Mm-hmm.
First bottle broke at the gym.
Oh.
But I said, don't bring cologne to the gym.
Yeah, you're one of those.
Don't bring cologne to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to work after or something like that.
But then take a shower.
I guess so. JT Leet just bought a DeLorean and some plutonium on Amazon.com.
Oh, I didn't know you can buy that there.
I didn't know
that's
that.
Interesting.
I didn't know that either.
That's good to know.
Cluckman 25 says he clicked the link. He just clicked the link. He said we can buy Reyes a dingo with $1.25.
Oh, a dingo.
And, MJ Bach is upset with me. I never gave him a shout out for he actually bought me a domain name.
Oh, what domain?
Well, I've talked about how I am the owner of joshhart.net.
Yes.
Joshhart.net.
Oh, is this the Mark Burnett?
Yes. So I am now the owner, MJ Bach is the owner.
The co-owner.
The co-owner of Mark Burnett. Net. And he has pointed that to Rob has a website.
Oh, that's great. We
very much appreciate that.
So oh, I love the support.
If you want to check out Mark Burnett,
mm-hmm.
that'll bring it right here.
Yeah.
Mrs. Peeps, she finished the Friggin' Five podcast and she bought an Amy Fisher biography.
Oh, because of the podcast?
Because of the podcast.
Oh.
Mr.
Supporting infidelity.
Mr. 4815162342.
Is that his number?
Can you
call
Twitter,
him?
just bought a Green Lantern cartoon on Blu-ray and pre-ordered Spider-Woman on Blu-ray through your link. Mm. Spider-Woman, yikes.
Sounds like someone needs to get out.
Pink Jedi bought some transnational gangs textbooks.
Oh, always learning.
John S. Acton bought Battle Los Angeles on Blu-ray as a Father's Day gift.
Oh, that's nice.
Loretta 8SOP bought Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. Mm. And
enjoy the commission.
Yeah, enjoy the commission. So I'm sure, and you know, there were other ones that people wrote on the comments of the show pages. It's just much harder for me to put those aside. So yes. Do it on Twitter.
Yes.
And then I can just favorite them. And then do it that way. But it is funny to hear the stuff that people buy.
I just bought new boxing hand wraps.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
in
pretty good.
Hot pink.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Nicole, is that everything?
I think that's everything.
This was an epic friggin' vibe.
This was pretty epic. Yeah.
So a big thanks to Jeff Pittman and William Price III for coming on with us.
That was very nice of them.
Our first two ever guests on a Friggin' Five.
It's because it's an epic Friggin' Five.
This was pretty epic.
Yes.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Peace out, kids.